Pete.
Papers, please.
You're staying.
Of course I'm staying.
Nice. Oh, you got one. Okay, you got one. Yes, you can have one, Mel. Hey, hey, how you doing? Ken, you got one? Ken, Barb? Barb, that is like my favorite hymn. I can't believe you picked that. I didn't even know it was in our hymnal.
For all the saints?
No, for the church shall stand, all while spires are crumbling. Yeah, that's a great Lutheran hymn. That's a Lutheran hymn, actually. Oh, it's a masterpiece, and the words are amazing. Okay, now, if everybody looks on the back, we're going to be talking about a little bit about providence, the relation of providence to patience. So I decided to sing This Is My Father's World together. I know it's a class, but it's my class, so I can do what I want, right? We'll just sing the last verse, since we're starting late. Does everybody have that? Got it? This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the that hymn and the words there. But I did notice there weren't enough hymns about providence in our hymnal, I don't think. So, interesting. Directly about providence. All right, let's open with prayer. Dear Father, help us to understand your truth. Give us your spirit to cause us to hear and understand, and to not just understand, but to be like the man who heard the word and he put it into practice. Help us to be like that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, through faith. In Jesus we pray, amen. Okay, well, I'm subbing for Barry, and since he asked me on Monday, I can cheat a little bit, and I picked stuff that I know. So, and relating it to families, husbands, and so on into the context of his class, I'm going to try to do that a little bit, but that's the part where you come in to help me out a little bit. So, and our key verse is up here. So let's listen to this word here, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Or the King James says, long-suffering. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Okay, so I love Dave's sermon today because he was talking about how we need to hear God's word. We come to church, why? To understand God's word. To understand who God is, what he's done for us, and then having heard it, okay, to allow ourselves to be humbled by it. To hear it and to see how it impacts us, because we're sinners. Okay, we've been saved and we're righteous, but we're still committing sin and we have a sinful nature within us. And there's this constant battle within us that goes on until we die. And so that was such a good statement of what church is about. Okay, now we're going to talk about patience. What is patience? Well, first of all, of course, Paul is concerned about what is love. What's love generally? And one of the elements is patience, and the first one is patience. So that's all we're going to look at, because it's pretty complex. All right, what is patience? And again, like Dave was saying today, we need to understand what God's word says about that. Not what we think about that. Okay, now, our prayer should always be in the church, God, forgive me of the things that I make an error on, you know, and that everyone forgets that part. But the part that's according to God's word is what we need to, what we must remember and put into practice. Okay, so, well, is patience required? That's sort of an obvious question for all of us. But let's just think about that a little bit. Is patience required? I got on the web and I read this one person says, it's okay to be impatient. This whole web that goes Christian person. I couldn't believe it. And I realized, okay, why? And the person was saying impatience is like being impatient for Christmas to come. You know, being impatient for the check to arrive or something like that. Some people are more impatient than others. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Well, interesting. So is that impatience, really? We'll find out, no, okay. That actually isn't impatience. That has nothing to do with patience, really, when we discover the definition of it. But patience is required, and I just want us to think about this. What's the burden of Paul on 1 Corinthians 13? Love is the single thing that if you don't have it, nothing is of any value. It's the single thing that if we don't have it, nothing we do is of any value whatsoever. Okay, so we have to find out what this love is. Well, thankfully, Paul goes through and he says, love is patient. Or in the King James, long-suffering. Okay? So, patience is an expression of love, according to Paul. Love is patient. All right. Now, let's talk about a little bit about love. What's the world's answer to love? Okay, right here I have, it's an emotional warmth of affection for another person. I think that I made that up, okay? So that's my perception of what the world calls love. You know, the Beatles, all you need is love, right?
But it's true.
I think it's true. I think it is true. It's not a wrong thing. In fact, look at Edwards' definition. This is Jonathan Edwards, one of the great theologians of the American 18th century. Love is the disposition or affection whereby one is dear to another. Okay, now, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're, well, Edwards, I think, would beg to disagree with that. Not that in and of itself it's not wrong at all. If love does not exhibit in actions, is it really love? No. Okay. So, faith without works is dead. That's that kind of thing. But if love has no affection, if there's no affection or warmth, is it really love? Okay, I think Edwards would say absolutely not.
Love is patient, love is kind.
Yeah. So love has this love. Without any warmth, without any affection whatsoever, it's really debatable as to whether that's love. Okay? I think, though, the world's view of love is that it's too focused on the feelings of the one loving. And so it's self-centered. So that's typical. I think I've given off my last. Oh, no, I haven't. Sorry about that. So love too focused on the feelings, too focused on loving those that already love us. Okay, now we have scripture on this later. But it's really incomplete, their view of emotion only. And I think that's what Mike is talking about. Doesn't exhibit in actions, is it real love? Or is it sentimentality? All right, so what is patient? Let's start with what it's not. Sometimes it's good to see, give an example of something that's the exact opposite of what you're trying to define. Okay, that's somebody that's quick-tempered, can't control themselves, they're impetuous, they're always wanting to buy stuff right away and that kind of thing. Okay, that's impatient. That's the opposite of patience. That's pretty obvious. But what's maybe not so obvious is what we would call patience in natural man. Okay, some people by their natural temperament. Okay, I have a really, really good friend I've known for 40 years, and he's just as quiet and mild-mannered as possible. It's his temperament. He's always been that way. And it's not really a fruit of the Spirit. It's his temperament. Okay, so that is not patience. That's not biblical patience. Okay, by life experience, some people have had a really hard time, and they've kind of learned that it doesn't help to blow up a lot. Okay? And maybe they've been trained. Some people are just, this is also very common. Some people are silent, but they're just boiling up inside. Okay, they're ready to explode. And they may be quiet with from a selfish point of view or from a vengeful. They're just waiting to get revenge. Okay, that's clearly not patience, even though it may look like patience. And then there's selective patience with family, friends, etc., but not with outsiders. And this here is in the scripture is relevant. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Okay. So if you're patient, you know, love is part of patience. If you're patient with those who are patient with you, you know, it's no credit to you. It's really, again, not a biblical patience. So if you're, and this is very common now, people will be selective. The people who are their buds, you know, they're very patient with. But the people who are not their buds, they're not patient with them. Okay, and this happens in the church, of course, too. Now, so what is patience? Well, I really, Jan will tell you, I was really laboring over this and could not get anywhere. Very much, because the Greek in the Bible, you see I've got it grayed out there, I just couldn't figure it out. But so I went back to Edwards. So Edwards has basically three elements here. You see his phrase there, meekly bearing the injuries received from others, or long-suffering. Okay, now there are three elements there. So it's meekly, which means patiently, quietly, calmly. Then there's bearing injuries. Okay, so it's, in other words, you're calm, but it's in the face of something difficult. So you're faced with a loss, you're faced with rejection, you're faced with hatred, you're faced with, you know, somebody stealing from you, whatever. And then he has this idea of long suffering. Okay, so it's calm, it's in the face of difficulties and tribulations, and for a long time. Okay, now that is patience. Okay, I've really read a lot of dictionary definitions and stuff like that. And if you look at the Bible verses too, which I don't list here, a lot of them, but all those elements are there. You know, kind of negatively, just in the Psalms to give you a feel for that, David says, "How long, O Lord?" There's several parts in the Bible. How long will I? He's not saying, okay, this is it, I can stop now, you know. No, he's saying, how long? I've been patient up till now. How long is this going to go on? So it's a long time. All right, so anyway, so this is now John Horst's, you know, cobbled together definition. Calmly accepting and dealing with opposition, obstacles, difficulties, disappointments, and adversities for a long time. Now, the objection I have with Edwards' definition is that he says it's only stuff from others, other people. So it's meekly bearing the injuries received from others. And I think sometimes it's not from a person, it's the circumstances. Now, the way Edwards puts it in his book, just to show that he's a genius, he says that we are impatient with God. And it's with God's providence. Okay, so really, I think I'm in unity with Edwards on this, but I just wanted to make it clear. It can appear like it's just a circumstance. That is impatience too. And really, ultimately, that is impatience with a person. And the person is God. When the circumstances are not going our way, and I'm upset, and I'm irritated. Now, I got to say this, folks. I really feel like Paul. I am the chief of sinners about patience. I'm really bad. John Horst. And this has been very difficult for me to teach on this stuff because it's so convicting. But again, getting back to what Dave said this morning, the purpose of church is to proclaim God's truth and to respond to it humbly. Okay, so this feeling of feeling convicted should be a normal feeling of a Christian when they're sitting in the pews. Normal feeling, yeah. Patient is what? I didn't hear that. No, it's not. That's why I said calmly accepting and dealing with. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. No, it's not fatalism. Yeah, we'll get into that when we talk about God's providence. Yeah, but the problem of our age is not taking action. The problem of our age is not believing in a providential God who loves me and orders all things for my good. That is not believed today. Even in the churches. It's not preached, it's not believed, it's not taught, it's not lived. And it's a great concern to me. Yeah.
Along with what Kevin said, being patient may actually require more work for you to deal with the situation that's been brought upon you by someone who's patiently out of
work. Oh, absolutely. Right, but we'll talk about it that people are always taking actions, but what kind of action are they taking? They're suing, they're talking behind their backs and use contentious type language. They become fearful, right? Because they don't believe God is in control. They feel like it's all up to them. Okay, so I really caution you to think about our age is really on the action side. We do not get the calm part down. We think that is being a worm, a coward. All right, and a number of other things, and in the church too. Let me just pick an example. Like fathers, they may say, "Well, I can't just be patient with my son here. I've got to correct them always. I've got to fix it and change them." Okay, that's not always true. We're talking about families now. There's a time, in fact, well, we'll talk. We're going to talk about that if we ever get there. So how does this relate to families? Oh, my word. You've got in, Ephesians 5 or 6? It basically links the husband's love for the wife to Christ's love for the church. Okay, so there's a gospel message in how we, if we're patient, okay, patience is a part of love. If I am patient with my wife, then I'm loving my wife, and it's displaying this very thing that God has set in the universe that it is a picture of. It's a picture of Christ's love for the church. What is the gospel? What is the gospel message? Okay, the gospel message is that Christ died for our sins through faith. In that, I have salvation, I have eternal life. So you've got this picture now being, it's like preaching in a sense. Now, I'm not denying the fact that we need to actually preach the words of the gospel to a person. There needs to be a preacher. But this is an important element. A lot of the preaching goes astray because we're not living according to the gospel. And also here, this verse that I found in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Okay, now, was that person calm if he was bitter against his wife? No. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a too easy a question. Yeah, there's no way. We become bitter when we stuff those things down. Yes, we're quiet, but we're stuffers. You heard that word? People that are stuffers. Love that. Yeah, so don't be a stuffer. Right? And that doesn't mean just blow up either. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so what's the goal of biblical patience? I should use the word biblical patience. What's the goal of a real patience? How do you know that it's real patience? Can you be calmly dealing with the difficulties of your life and so on? Can you do it for your own glory? Possible. Okay, it's what really drives us is we say, you know, if I'm patient with so-and-so, that will glorify God. That will bring glory to God. And that should be our goal, is to bring glory to God through our behavior. And also the salvation of men. As I say, these things are all connected. Okay, so now, what is a right view of providence? A right view of providence is essential to biblical patience, and because I'm so concerned about this, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on that. So, providence. Providence is, what is that? It's God working all things, whether pleasant or unpleasant, together for the good of his chosen people. That's what providence is. Okay, and the verse is in Romans 8, for all things work together for good for those who are chosen of God. All things work together for good. And in the context, it's bad things and good things. I've had debates with Christians. This is such a hot topic in the church today. You know, they talk, well, that's fatalism, And some even say that is only talking about good things. I had a guy, my work, Christian guy. Okay, there's a lot of attacks on this. No, this is all things. I mean, the classic example is Job. I mean, there's the quintessential example in the Bible of the worst things you could possibly imagine happen to somebody. And in the end, it works out for good. Even though in the end he doesn't really get an answer, does he? You know, God just proclaims him to be the creator. And God of all glory, the God of the universe, the infinite being, you know. And here's Job just like, I just shut my mouth. I got nothing to say. You know. So anyway, our crosses. Now, why is a view of providence important to biblical patience? We know that the scripture teaches that our crosses, they lead us to better places. They do. Yes, they're unpleasant when we go through them. And we'll talk about that later. But it leads us to a better place. It's something God is doing. He's doing a good thing. Okay? Now, how does this help us with patience? Well, that means when we face a difficulty like that with a person, where this person is difficult to us, or the circumstance, we are able to be more patient because we say to ourselves, our minds at least say, and our hearts if we're calm and really trusting, we say, it will work out for good in the end. So, also, look at this wonderful verse. All of you must know this, but let's apply it to patience. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Okay, some translations say your Father's will. Maybe it's another version. But anyway, without the Father's consent, that bird is not going to fall to the ground. And of course, his conclusion is, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Okay, what is this lack of calm often like? when something happens, some providence happens, or somebody says something to you that's hurtful, worry, anxiety. It's often connected to anxiety, our lack of calm. Yeah, we want to be God. Well, but we'll get into this. I'm even going to come down even heavier with my hammer. You cannot have true patience without a calm heart. You can't. Because everything in true religion comes from the heart. It starts with the heart. Why is that? Because the basis of it is faith. You know, it's a heart thing. I can't touch faith, you know? I can't do faith. We're always trying to do faith, right? Sign a card, pray a prayer, make a promise, whatever. Okay, faith is an issue of the heart. And the Bible says is that all good proceeds from the heart and evil, okay? And our problem is we have a bad heart. That's our problem. So we need to have the Savior come and live within us and continue to work with us, because we're still sinners. We still do sin, you know, and commit sin, even though fundamentally we're saved, you know, but we still sin. So we need to have from the heart. So patience, true patience, is a matter of the heart. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. Both impatience and biblical patience. Biblical patience comes from the heart. In fact, let me just jump there, because I don't want to miss that. Okay, now the Bible says a lot about this, okay, I think. So I hope I'm being right here. If somebody can prove me wrong from the Scripture, I am open. Not watching, taking heed of the soul is dangerous. Not taking heed of our souls, of our heart, is a dangerous matter. It's very common today. We just sort of ignore the heart. Okay? Listen to James 3:8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless... am I skipping something? There was a verse that I guess I forgot to... Oh, here it is. Let me go down. Proverbs 25:28. I just didn't. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Okay, now that's a big thing. A city broken down, no walls, a man not control of his spirit is like that. Okay, and Proverbs 16:32, he is slow to anger, is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. Okay, now who do we value? We value the mighty. In our age, don't we? You know, we're always lifting up politicians and people who are presidents and CEOs and everything like that. But it is far better to have a person who controls their spirit than such a person. Now, you see here how important the heart is. It's our life is like a city that's broken into without walls if we cannot control our spirit. Okay, now I got three fingers pointed back, guys. I'm not saying you guys know me, okay? But this is God's word. All right, now, but what's the problem? The problem is that the tongue obeys the heart. You see, our hearts are wicked. And so the tongue will do what the heart, the state of the heart. James says it right here. No one can tame the tongue. No one. There is no, seminar. There is no great guru that you can go to and do his 12 steps or something like that to tame your tongue and my tongue. It's not possible. There is a way to tame the tongue, but it's not of this world, is what James is saying. Okay? It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now tell me that isn't true. You know, the contentiousness, the evil that we see in our world, the backbiting, the hatred, the factiousness, it's just awful. You see how much we need this word, and it comes from the heart. Our self-control comes from the heart, and it's very serious. Preaching to myself still. So getting back to providence, the right view of providence. We actually believe that men have some eternal power and can eternally hurt us. Okay, this is me speaking. I actually think that we believe, when we are impatient and we don't believe in providence, we actually believe that men and circumstances have an eternal power over us. Okay? And I think Jesus addresses this when he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Okay, if we can really grasp that when somebody says something and does something that's very irritating to us and very disturbing to us, but instead we have this settled view that all good and all bad is not only from God, but it's for my good. Okay, now where do I get that? I'm probably going to get this somewhere, but where do I get that? Romans 5. You all know that? For tribulation, he says, "I exult in my tribulations because tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance, character. And character, hope, I think. Proven character. And hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because he's poured out the love of God in our hearts." Now think about that. There's the pattern. Tribulation brings love and hope and everything that we really want. That's God's word now. Doesn't feel that way. If you have the right foundation, right. You're right. It can only biblical patience can only come through abiding faith in Jesus. And let me just jump there. What does Jesus say? "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay, now he's not talking about that a person can't work at their jobs, that they can't be very vibrant people, very smart, very talented, more talented than we are at a number of things. Right? It's not what he's saying. He says you can do nothing of any value. It's of eternal value. Without Jesus, I think. So this is a serious matter. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what does that have to do with biblical patience? Well, it means that this patience that we get, if it's going to be a biblical patience, it has to come through faith in Jesus. It has to be connected to our life with Jesus through faith. That's my only conclusion here. If I can't do anything, that means I can't be patient. I can't have a true patience that glorifies God unless I'm united to Jesus in faith. Okay? And these wonderful verses in Romans 8 about providence. "For who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword?" Like he's just looking for stuff to say, you know. "And just as it is written, for your sake we be putting to death all day long." He brings it all the way to death. "Now listen, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer." Okay, now getting back to patience. I know that patience is so hard to have. And this view of providence that settles our hearts is so rare. But here it is. Paul had it. "But in all these things," I'm reminded of another part in Paul. "We felt the sentence of death upon us, but these things came so that we wouldn't depend on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Okay, why did that bad stuff come? He said, "It was a good thing. It brought me to believe that God was with me and that he raises the dead. I turned to God." Now, isn't that true? I mean, I came to Christ Because I had a problem. Really, mostly. I had a need. And God brought that need to me. That was his wonderful, sovereign, providential plan. And I was brought to that point where I, the dumbbell that I was, I said, maybe I should look for something outside of myself. Duh. And that was a good thing. So even for an unbeliever, so we talked about being from the heart. What are some objections? Maybe I should go there, and what biblical patience doesn't exclude. So what do you hear an objection to biblical patience? Okay, a lot, you may hear or feel yourself that the offending person, if I've been offended, that we'll say to ourselves, well, the offending person won't know the faults that they have unless I correct them. If I'm silent, they won't know. Okay? If we're patient with them. All right, so what's a response to that? Well, love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible just says that. Certainly there is a time for rebuke. Absolutely. But if I have real patience, I'm going to rebuke gently. Aren't I? But loving, covering a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Now that's what I'm talking about, Mike. Fervent. Now don't tell me that doesn't involve what Edwards would have called the passions, but it's not passion. Affections. What Edwards would have called the affections. So affections are a part of love and should be. Keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Repeat. So that's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And also consider how your example. So if this person has offended me, I should consider the example that I give them. That's a much more important lesson, usually, isn't it? If somebody's patient with you, boy, that speaks volumes. If they just correct me, it's maybe not as powerful. And also we can trust the Holy Spirit to reveal their faults. And sometimes our correction of people, it reveals that we don't believe that the Spirit is working in their lives, in their hearts, and we'll speak to them. Okay, so I think how patience is an element of love. I think I already covered that. What biblical patience does not exclude? Okay, now some of you are thinking about a lot of these things already. This is fatalism, too hard oriented, whatever. But what does it not exclude? Okay, it does not exclude what I was talking about earlier. This person saying that I look forward to stuff, fun stuff that's happening, like Christmas time and even heaven, good things. To fervently desire and look forward to good things and that they would happen as soon as possible is not sinful impatience. I guess it could go that way if it were extreme, but that's not wrong. In fact, to long for heaven is something that the Bible approves of. Okay, and another thing is sorrow and tears. Okay, sorrow and tears. Look, this is not, the Christian life is very serious, and it's not a life of all smiles all the time, period. Okay, and when we are wronged by someone, we may have tears. We may feel bad inside. We will feel bad inside. We may feel bad for a long time. Okay? And that is not inconsistent with a biblical patience, in my opinion. For example, the next point here, bringing complaints to God in prayer. This is a typical thing in the Old Testament. you read the Psalms and so on, they're often saying, Lord, how long? This is too difficult. And they talk about their tears and their crying and all that. Okay, that is perfectly acceptable to God. And in fact, we can make a complaint to God. Actually tell God exactly what we think. I mean, we're not hiding anything from him. He already knows everything. So, and then the last thing here, parents instructing their children. Biblical patience does not exclude a patient heart in parents bringing discipline to the child. Okay? So, if you're a church, you know, church courts, government courts and authorities, parents, you know, various authorities should do something about bad behavior at the right time and in the right way. Must do something. Okay, so that's patience does not exclude that. All right, I've got 2 minutes left, and I'll open for questions or comments. Sorry, I really wanted to get through this. You can see I feel pretty strongly about it. Any comments or questions? Or
one of the things in the family that helps me to, because I'm not a very patient person myself, you know, when Lee was little, as stubborn as he was, I would just lose my temper with him, you know, and it suddenly occurred to me, Lord, God put me in charge of him. I am his authority. Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a grandma.
I don't so much anymore, but it's recognizing the structure that God has put in place in the family, and taking your rightful role in it.
Right.
Kind of helps that peaceful exercise of discipline over your children and peaceful submission to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Excellent.
She got that from her father.
She got the discipline from her father? So. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should have stressed more. Patience is not taking action. Yeah, not at all. That is not biblical patience. And particularly if you have authority, position of authority. Yes, he did. Yeah, harshly, doesn't say harshly in the Bible.
No, but
firmly.
Yeah, it was firmly.
Certainly firmly. And with truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes flat out truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly calling the Pharisees whitewashed sepulchers. But you know, it's interesting. I did look at how many times Jesus actually got angry. Because it doesn't say he got angry with the driving out the money changers. So show if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's any mention of him being angry. But there is at least one instance, and I think maybe only one, where it says he got angry. And that was he was healing a man, and it was in the synagogue, and it says, the Bible says that he was angry at the hardness of their hearts. So he's healing a man on the Sabbath, you know. And he made the point, you know, if your cow is in the ditch, you're going to take him out on the Sabbath, right? Kind of thing. Maybe, I'm sure he didn't say it like that, but something like this. So, yeah, there's, I guess I would question too, we read the words, but we don't get the tone from the scripture. We often can put on a certain tone to Jesus' words. I have a feeling he was much more serene than we, you know, and not kind of this angry. Yes, we are called to be infinitely patient. We are, but it has to be a biblical patience. That's what I was seeking to lay out here, and tried my best. What is a biblical patience? What does that look like? And I think it really starts with the heart. It starts with the heart believing in God, the providential God and the saving God. Both. They're really essential elements. Yes, sweetie. Very good. So important. Yeah, seeing God, that's another aspect of this connection with Christ helps us to be patient and is essential to patience, because we see the providential God was patient with us. He could have wiped us out at any moment. Okay, it's five after. It was been a delight. Thank you. Father, thank you for giving us this time to look at your word. Help us to walk in patience, O Lord. Help us to seek after you and to have a spirit that is calm and trusting and does not fret and worry and does not want to bring revenge against particularly our family members, Lord, but also outside of the family. Help us, O God, to give us hearts that see what you've done for us and how you've been so patient with us. And you've overlooked sin after sin after sin. And you died for us and you paid the whole penalty so that we can be completely accepted by you. Lord, let us rest in that and walk forward, trusting in your ordering, your providential ordering of all the affairs of our lives. Also in our families, with our children and our grandparents and our parents and everyone, Lord. Give us this biblical patience. In Jesus we pray. Amen.